You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 156.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, that little clip was a piece that I created, sort of, using JukeDeck. It allows you to create music of all kinds using their AI system algorithms. So, as usual, I'll play the full short song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Now for my podcast today, I'm interviewing Michael Pittock. He's the CEO and founder of Glisser. Glisser is a very unique audience response system that, quote, shares presentation slides to mobile devices in real time and uses polling and Q&A to make live events and classroom interactive, end quote. You know, I really like to look out for unique educational technologies, and this is one that really impresses me. The only other one that comes to mind offhand is Practice, also called ApprendNet. I think you'll really appreciate Glisser and what it can do, especially if you've had experience with other audience response systems. In the interest of full disclosure, we are testing Glisser. We have a free pilot that we're just starting. So, what's Glisser got that's so unusual? Well, here are some of the key features of Glisser. Live polling, as you would expect, but they have live slide sharing, so each of the attendees can actually see the slides. There's also a back channel for Q&A, where the students can rank different questions. They have a ability to do a Twitter wall if you're doing a presentation at a large event. It's a web platform. There are no plugins required. And best of all, the participants can instantly download all the slides from the presentation at the end. Of course, this is all controllable by the presenter. The participants can also take notes on each slides. I wish I had this when I was attending the recent Blackboard World. I would have loved to have been able to take a note on a particular slide and by clicking a button, send it out to Twitter with a snapshot of the slide, of the actual slide. And this is something that I think is very clever and will really catch on. The other thing they have coming down the pike is the ability to translate captions. So you might be presenting slides in English and want to show captions of those slides in another language. So without further ado, here's my interview with Michael Pittock. Mike, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today about Glisser.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business?
Okay, so my background is marketing. So I was a business-to-business marketeer for 12 years before starting this company. And really, as part of that role, we ran a lot of events, training seminars, sales events, and internal communications events. So really, the product evolved out of a need I had there. And then as we built the product and developed it, we realized there was a sideways step into the education space. And that's really where we've moved now. We built the product and realized there was a really interesting opportunity over in the university world, which is quite interesting because I sort of look back at my university days. I studied at Oxford and I was notoriously hated the lectures. I was quite happy. Quite happy to read books on my own. I love the tutorials, sort of the one-on-one time with my tutors, but I rarely attended lectures, so I felt that they weren't working for me. And so as we've developed the product further, I've lent on that experience from sort of 15 years ago.
I kind of agree with you. I remember being in big lectures, and you know, they are certainly not engaging to a lot of students. So I do a little bit of teaching myself now. Oh, I've done teaching for years, but right now that's not my main job. And, you know, recently, of course, I've rolled in audience response. So to help to keep the students awake and functioning. We also have lecture capture. A lot of students may miss lecture and they watch it later. But that's be almost as deadly as being in a live lecture that doesn't have some engagement.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because of the emergence of YouTube, the ability to watch passively, it's always available for through YouTube. So really, a live lecture needs to offer something more than just a passive presentation of content in one direction. I think that's fundamental to the emergence of audience response and student response, because the advantage of lectures is that you have that group of people all in the same room, and you have multiple brains and the ability to take the lecture in a different direction as people contribute or as they play off each other. And that's something which YouTube will never be able to replicate. So suddenly the emergence of the lecturer in a unique position is afforded by the use of student response. So it's about taking the lecture beyond something which I could just sit here and watch on YouTube at my own leisure.
That's right. Now, you were in marketing, so why didn't you use something off the shelf? Why did you feel you needed to produce your own product?
So the idea first came to me probably 7 or 8 years ago, when at the time I was working for a telecoms IT company, and we were spending a lot of our budgets attending the big events, the sort of Gartner events and Forrester and things like that, and paying a fortune to be present and to show our brand. And events and those sort of seminar type sessions and conferences are still fundamental to businesses, because you're educating, you're training people, you're training potential buyers about your product, and you're also utilizing the time to kind of network and build relationships. So events and seminars are core to businesses. But at that time, there was very little in the way of audience response. It was still pretty basic. It was the kind of the hardware clickers that you would occasionally see, right, and super expensive. So you'd spend a lot of money on these events, and the only data you got back was maybe a register of attendees. And for me, that just wasn't good enough. So I went out, looked for a product which would allow me to take it to the next level, to start engaging the audience, getting different data sets, getting more information about them, about their opinions, their feelings, their positivity towards the brand and so on. And at the time, nothing really existed. And then over a few more years, the thought stayed in the back of my mind, and I continued running events, and nobody was coming out with the product that I wanted. And so about 4 years ago, I sat down and found a tech person to build me a prototype, and it kind of went from there.
I see. So now, of course, there are a number of pretty popular audience response systems on the market. I know at our school, one of our colleges was a big user of the clickers, but that always turned out to be problematic. They're expensive. Students don't like to carry around other devices necessarily. In fact, it was used oftentimes for attendance taking, and it was easy for a student to give one of their buddies their clicker, and all of a sudden be in the lecture room. So, moving to mobile devices and mobile phones to do audience response, I think, is certainly the way to go. How would you differentiate your product from some of the other competitors on the market?
So before I answer that, I think it's absolutely this is the time to move to cloud. I think the reason that those kind of old clickers have survived so long have been that the market wasn't really ready for it, and technology wasn't quite there. But there's been a convergence of things now where cloud is ubiquitous, smartphone ownership is nearly universal, Wi-Fi and LTE in universities and around campus is strong. And so all of those things have come together to make this the kind of time when maybe those organizations which were thinking, let's stick with our clickers and our sort of our old school systems, should really be thinking about cloud now. It's become very cost effective. As to how we're different, I think one of the things that we've really focused on is the live slide sharing piece. So I don't think anybody else is doing this to bring your own device and without any form of app download. So we just use a unique URL to access, so there's no download. And we're live sharing PowerPoint slides to audience devices in real time. And we have a PowerPoint plugin, so it means that you can do that straight out of PowerPoint. The reason I think that's important is that it's about sharing the lecture notes, it's about sharing the content, and it's about allowing the audience to tap their lecture notes into their device as well and package them all together. So at the end of the lecture, you just hit a button and It sends you an email with all of the slides and your notes. So it's bringing that piece into the equation means that students are already engaged with their devices, whether they're mobile phones, tablets, or laptops, because they're tapping notes, because they're viewing the slides as they appear. They're going back to see previous slides that maybe they want to see in more detail. They're second screening already. They're not being asked to just pick up their device at the point that you want to run a poll or a quiz. So by getting the eyeballs on the screens throughout the process, when it comes to live Q&A or when it comes to a poll or a quiz, they've already got their devices ready. The response rates are higher. It's kind of an integrated package, and that's really what we've been going for. And we've built something which works for enterprises who aren't using this thing day in, day out. So you're a corporate, you're running a big event, and maybe it's your one event a year. We needed to build something that delegates who've never seen the software before can pick up and just use instinctively without any sort of training. So we've really focused on UX and UI and ease of use and so on. And then when you bring that into the classroom context, where tutors have the advantage of using the software day in, day out, and students have the advantage of one, being super tech savvy, but also, you know, using the software regularly, it really is a different experience, a better experience, and an easier experience. And in a way, focusing on the enterprise, on the business market first, meant that we dealt with a lot of tough problems, you know, at their toughest.
You know, I certainly wish that Blackbird World used that. I just came back from their meeting, and several people in the audience were using their phones and their iPads to snap, you know, take pictures of the slides at the front of the room.
Yeah.
And they promised that, okay, well, the slides are going to be available. And then, lo and behold, they didn't make it easy to find them. And a lot of them never made it, as far as I can tell, haven't made it to their website yet.
Yeah.
So, boy, it would have been wonderful to have that capability. I mean, I was using, you know, Google Keep to take notes and snapping pictures and trying to piece everything together at the end. So I really like that feature of being able to download the slides and even take notes.
It seems crazy that everywhere else nowadays you can get content immediately. If I see an image online that I want, I just right click it and take it, or a video. And also, you in everything you do online, you have the ability to comment, to share it, to like it, to socialize it. The only place you can't do that right now is in a lecture theater or in an event. There's all this content being presented. You're hopefully super engaged at that point, but getting the content is hard, which is why everyone performs this hack by taking a photograph of it, and it's just not good enough. And so what we're trying to do is make that entire process much easier. If you see the content, if it's valuable to you, you can get it, and then you're sharing it, you're liking it, you're socializing it, and you're spreading that knowledge beyond just the people in the room. So it's, you know, we're solving that problem as well.
It's funny, I put up a note on the community site at Blackboard saying, how do we get slides on, you know, this particular presentation? Eventually somebody wrote back and they sent me a screenshot that they did. I said, no, I already have the screenshots. I want to see the entire, you know, high quality you know, PowerPoint or PDF, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, so,
I'll be doing a podcast on Blackboard World, so maybe I can connect you with the right people. Maybe they can use it next year.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, my vision is that you walk into a presentation, and you know we've got used to having a Twitter hashtag associated with an event. I'd like people to walk into presentations and be asking, "What's the Glisser code?" Because I want the slides. That's the big dream, that it becomes synonymous with, you know, accessing slides immediately, rather than kind of waiting for somebody to maybe put them onto SlideShare.
When I was looking at some of your documentation, did I see something about Twitter? Is there some sort of not integration, but how does your product work with Twitter? Or was I imagining that?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So we do an integrated Twitter wall. So you assign a hashtag to your presentation or your session, and we pull in all of the tweets, and that can be displayed in the audience phones, or it can be overlaid on the PowerPoint. So you just hit one key and it brings up the Twitter feed over the top of your PowerPoint slides, which is, it tends to be more of an enterprise feature, because often they're running a Twitter wall. And we can do things like moderate that Twitter wall. So again, you may not want some of the tweets to be showing to your delegates, so the event organizer can moderate that out. The other thing we do is we allow you as a user to connect your Twitter account. So then if you see a slide that you like, you're able to actually tweet that slide with a comment, and it adds the event hashtag to your tweet. So that was quite a neat feature. And then we also added a feature which allowed sort of super presenters to connect their Twitter account and have Twitter and be effectively live tweeting their slides as they're presented. So all automated. We did that once with a chap, and he had, I think he had like 130,000 Twitter followers, and he had 50 slides, and we calculated that he created 8.5 million opportunities to see by live tweeting his deck. So it was an interesting experiment. We were kind of seeing whether Twitter could replace the event app, that rather than go to a specific site, you could just follow along on Twitter. But that tends to be for very specialist uses. We get a lot more usage out of the live Twitter wall, for example.
That's fantastic. Because that's the other thing I was doing. So here I was trying to tweet at these meetings. This would have made my job a lot easier. That's fantastic. That's really a very cool feature. I don't think anybody else has that.
No, and there's nothing better than, you know, I'm based in London, and there's nothing better than waking up in the morning and seeing overnight a whole bunch of audience members have tweeted some slides using our product. And it's, you know, it's great that it can create a very, it's viral, and also it disseminates the content. So, you know, if you're a great presenter and you want people to be spreading your message, and making it as easy as possible for them to do that via Twitter just seems an obvious thing to do. For us, Twitter's just the first integration. You know, we've got our eyes on Slack and Facebook and all of those things as well. And LinkedIn, LinkedIn, people may be sharing slide decks via SlideShare, but we think there's a lot more potential there. And for businesses, you know, as you produce content, having your event attendees, you know, passing that content on.
Very cool. I created a free account for myself, and I note how easy it is to use. Why don't you take a few moments just to tell my audience how you use it? Do you need, if you use PowerPoints typically, do you need to put a plugin into PowerPoint? Just give a brief rundown on how you would get started.
Yeah, so we've kind of got two elements of the product. We have a web platform and we have a PowerPoint plugin. To start with, the web platform, you basically create a free account and you can start uploading existing slide decks. So you don't create your decks any differently. You just create them in PowerPoint or Keynote or Google Slides and upload them into the system, and it basically converts them and indexes them. And then you go in, and all of the features are pretty much on-off switches. So if you want to add in a live audience Q&A, it's just on-off. If you want that moderated, it's on-off. If you want to collect email addresses up front, it's on-off. We then allow you to position your poll slides, so multiple choice or free text or whatever, in between your PowerPoint slides and sort of create them as a flow within the deck. That's really important because it means that when you're presenting, you don't need an assistant. They're just in the deck, in the right place. When you get to your poll slide, it's pushed out to the audience devices, just like the other slides. You then just hit a button to reveal the results on the main screen. So that's kind of how the web platform works. It's no change to how you create PowerPoint. Switch on the various features that you need. Drag and drop your polls. When you're ready, you just present from the platform and share the URL with your audience, and they will be able to get the slides and interact. It's pretty straightforward. We say people can kind of pick it up in half an hour. We then also built a PowerPoint plugin where we said, okay, how about we try and do as much of this as possible from within the PowerPoint environment? There you download the PowerPoint plugin. It's just an add-in from our website, and it creates an extra ribbon, creates an extra menu item on the ribbon, and that includes pretty much everything. You can drag your polls in there, you can turn on Q&A, you can add Twitter feeds, and then you just click a button, and that button will synchronize everything to our cloud. It will create your audience URL so your audience can access it. You can change that to something familiar, easier to type. And then you just hit a button, which is go live. So it's effectively the same as presenting out of PowerPoint, except we have a different button, which is go live. So it just means that it's now presenting PowerPoint as normal, but it's syncing with our cloud so that every time you move forward a slide, it's telling every audience device that's logged into the URL to move forward a slide as well. And all of the other features, the Q&A feed, the Twitter feed, the polling, they're just button presses straight out of PowerPoint. So again, you don't need to switch screens. You don't need any assistant. It's just button presses. The only thing we can't do is make that all work from a clicker. So the forward and back slides will work as normal with a PowerPoint clicker. Unfortunately, the PowerPoint clicker doesn't have a third button to kind of reveal polls or reveal Q&A at the moment. So you just need to kind of hit a few quick keys on your keyboard to reveal those things. But other than that, the experience is identical to PowerPoint. So think of it as PowerPoint with an extra layer of interactivity wrapped around it.
I appreciate the ability to being able to work outside of using the PowerPoint plugin because, for example, if I'm giving a lecture, a guest lecture, and I'm on the institution's podium PC, I might not be allowed to download any plugins or do anything. So being able to have it totally on the web is really a plus. People can get started, like I mentioned, using a free trial. What are the limitations with a free trial? Are the number of connections, or what's the limitation there?
There are limitations to the number of features. So we've obviously gated features that are more sophisticated because we kind of don't want people to try and see the whole thing at once and try to learn all of the complexity. So we've slimmed it right down to just key features. But you have unlimited Q&A, you can have unlimited, you can have a Twitter feed, you can have as many polls in it as you like. There is no limitation to the number of people you can have in the audience. So all of those features work. We've switched off features such as moderation, so you can't moderate. So it's kind of a basic set there. The main thing that we do with the free version is if your audience interacts and we're taking their email addresses in order to participate, effectively those email addresses become ours to market to. So that's the key point. The idea is that the free version is available for you to test with, to practice with, to try out. But if you wanted to use it, in real life with a real audience, you'd be expected to upgrade to kind of a basic paid package in order to retain all of your data and interactions. We really, it's been designed to allow you to get familiar with it and train yourself and see whether there's any benefits to you. But the free version isn't something that we'd recommend using in a real life environment.
Gotcha. Most institutions like us use a learning management system. Is there any way to integrate and work with an LMS such as Blackboard?
That's on the roadmap. So we've integrated into enterprise systems like HubSpot and Salesforce. And we have an intention to integrate into Blackboard and Canvas in the education space. So it's happening in the next few months, I should think. We've really only been looking into the education space in the last 6 months, understanding the market, understanding the needs, refining the product to meet it, and definitely the LMS integration came up more than once. We're now starting to sign up trial clients and rolling out for the fall semester. And over the course of that period, we'll be working with those clients, taking feedback, prioritizing development, and almost certainly integrating into those learning management systems over that period. So come the end of the year, we should be integrated into both of those.
Okay, well, that's good news. Other than that, is there can you say anything about the cost? Does the student pay? Is there options for the student pay, or does the institution pay? How does that work?
We're looking at it totally flexibly. We recognize that institutions are setting themselves up differently. Some are in different financial situations to others. So we're kind of going in with an open book and saying, look, we want you to trial the product. We want you to hopefully to like it and work out what the value is for your organization and then come up with a pricing structure and a payment approach that works for the institution. The beauty of being essentially a startup is that we can be super responsive to individual needs, and we can design something around budget years and payments and so on that works. So we're coming with an open book. We very much see the next semester as a learning process for us around stuff like that. And you know, it may be in the future that we pin down on something that's preferred. But right now, those organizations that trial us and work with us will be able to help define how we set up the commercials. So if anyone's unsure or has specific needs, now is exactly the right time to be working with us, because you can make sure that we're building things in a way that works for you.
That sounds good. I should note that you're a UK company. In fact, you're in London right now. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm based in London. We're UK headquartered, but we have a US subsidiary. So we have Glisser Inc., which is our US business, and we opened that in November 2016. So we've sort of been out there for under a year, but already we've got offices in New York and Seattle. And you know, it's the main focus for our expansion now. So we built in the UK originally, but very much focused on the US now, and building our presence in that market.
One thing that we've been looking for a pretty long period of time is what I guess you call a back channel during a lecture. And you know, most people think of audience response as simply doing polls. So I was really gratified to see that you have this sort of back channel way for students to ask questions. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, so this in the enterprise space, this is probably one of the core features. So it's basically a digital Q&A. So the students, as well as seeing the slides and not voting in polls, can tap in questions into their phone and send them. They either go straight to the presenter to be moderated, and the presenter can moderate by accepting, rejecting, or archiving. And it could be a presenter's assistant. Typically, in an enterprise event, it's an assistant rather than the person on stage. But that moderation can, of course, be switched off, and they can just be let straight through. Once they're approved or they're let through, then they appear in each of the student/audience devices, and the presenter can also bring those questions up on the main screen as a feed over the top of PowerPoint, and then you can rank them either by the latest question, the most upvoted question, so other students can vote up and like the questions that they prefer. The presenter can even show all of the data as a word cloud, so you can create like a really nice, interesting visual graphic of the hot topics of the lecture. And so that provides kind of a back channel. It provides a opportunity for the shyer, more introverted members of the audience to ask questions. It's also really valuable because it captures the questions, and you know, you're building up a database of information about things that maybe you didn't cover that well in your lecture, and so you're getting a lot of questions on them. And as a lecturer, that may then help you refine your presentation for when you do that particular session next time. So it's not just a useful channel for the moment. It's actually a way of improving the quality of your lectures, because you've got a data set which says, hey, I'm getting a lot of questions about this particular area. Maybe I should spend more time on it.
Right. That is really a cool feature. I'm not aware that the ones that I'm, the other audience response systems I'm aware of have something like that. So that is pretty cool. Anyway, I think this is a good overview of Glisser. I think I hope our audience has a good feel for what it does. I think it's a pretty innovative product. Is there anything else you'd like to alert us to? Anything, any new features coming down the pike that you care to talk about?
Yeah. So one that's really interesting us at the moment, and we've got it in beta with a view to launching in the next sort of 3 to 6 months, is around translation. I think this is really interesting. Microsoft's APIs already allow you to translate PowerPoint and create subtitles at the bottom of your PowerPoint. But we can actually do it into devices. So you could have students in with multiple preferred languages, and as the slides are presented, you may be presenting them in English, but there could be subtitles in a French speaker's phone in French or a Spanish speaker's phone in Spanish. And similarly, we're looking at passing any of the questions through the translator as well. So then somebody writing a question in Spanish could be translated in English for the main screen. That for me is super exciting. It's not just great in a classroom, but it really opens up the world of virtual classrooms. And we've done some stuff combining our live slide sharing with live video, and we just run it through things like YouTube Live to create a kind of virtual and hybrid session. And I think that's really interesting, the ability for lecturers to create content, not just for the class that's present, but potentially a global audience and have it translated. For me, it's just a really, really interesting thing, and so important as more and more developing countries are eager to learn, and as universities start to think about not just their students that are on campus, but those that are kind of dialing in from overseas. So yeah, that's super exciting, something which we're working on right now, and something which I think really is valuable in the education space.
That is really cool. I mean, certainly we would be using it here for, you know, face-to-face, but we have a number of students where English is not their first language, so I can imagine this would be a really great addition. Well, listen, Mike, thank you so much. I think this was great. I think it's very cool product. I think I certainly have seen how easy it is to use, and best of luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got a feel for what Glisser can do. Certainly give them a try. They're very willing to do a free pilot. Stay tuned for my short piece called Impossible Worries. I think that was also produced by their artificial intelligence, or maybe just random words put together. But anyway, enjoy. And until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company. Yes.